1 Timothy chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 3 through 8. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in corporate prayer, asking for God's blessing on the preaching of his word. Our Father, we do commit this time to you. Help me, please, to make known your truth, that Triune Grace, this church here, might be built up in courage, that we might be faithful to everything that your word says, even in the treatment of widows. And so we pray that you would help us, you would give us grace, and that we would desire to hear and to heed what your word has to tell us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw last Sabbath day the reality of the church being a family, the church being the family of God, and the relationships that we are to have in the family of God. How older men are to be treated as fathers, younger men are to be treated as brothers, older women are to be treated as mothers, and younger women are to be treated as sisters with all purity. Now, this morning, we will see the reality that widows, the reality of widows and the proper care for widows in the church. How is the church to handle and think about the reality of widows? We know, according to James 1, that pure and undefiled religion before God and our Father is this: to visit widows and orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so we know from Old and New Testament that God cares about the fatherless and the widow. God cares about the treatment of the fatherless and the widow. And we see here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, gives us biblical thinking. Obviously, it's in the scriptures. It gives us thinking how we should think about how the church should care for widows. Very practical in our day, because in every generation, for the most part, you're going to have widows. You're going to have those who don't have the care of a husband anymore. And the church should think about, how are we to interact? How are we to think through these, through care for widows? And there's two ditches, like most things, as it relates to caring for the needy. The one ditch is that we say, if anybody has a need, we must help them. No matter what, if they have a need, we must help them as the church. We are obligated. If there is a need, we must meet it. That is a ditch that we don't want to fall into. We'll see that that's actually not true according to this text. The other ditch is to say, we don't care about the fatherless or widow, and we just want to keep a blind eye to it and not worry about their problems, which is also a ditch. And I think this text beautifully shows us how we are to balance those things. And so the main point of this sermon is honoring widows who are really widows, but beginning by seeing that they are taken care of by their own family. Honoring widows who are really widows, but beginning by seeing that they are taken care of by their own family. First point, honor widows who are really widows. Honor widows who are really widows. Second point, children and grandchildren showing piety and repaying their parents. Third point, carnal widow. Carnal widow. Fourth point, providing for your own. Providing for your own. So again, my first point, honoring widows who are really widows. Verse 3 says, honor widows who are really widows. That's where I'm getting it from. That's what the text says. Honor widows who are really widows. And so the word honor here does not mean be respectful to them. Of course, that's implied through other passages in Scripture. We should be respectful to elderly people, of course. But that's not what honor means in this context. Honor does not mean treat them with respect and dignity and worth. We should do that always. But honor here is in the context of consistent, ongoing financial support. That's what honor means here. I'll prove that to you. Look at verse 17 of the same chapter. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For, then he explains what he means by honor, for the scripture says, you should not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And so honor in this context is financial support. We'll see in chapter 5, verse 17, 18, that elders, unlike widows, deserve double honor. And what that means is the laborer is deserving of his wages. That's what honor means in this context. And so widows are deserving of honor. Elders are deserving of double honor. And it's connected with financial, ongoing support. Let me say this as well. This text is not addressing specifically about one-time giving to widows. It's not addressing that specifically. It's not addressing what you might do as a personal thing of you give a one-time gift or donation to someone to care for them. It's not addressing that explicitly. What's addressing explicitly is the continued ongoing support of widows. As we see in verse 9 of this chapter, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number. The number meaning the role of widows who are consistently supported by the church. So that's the context. Honor widows who are really widows. But he explains what he means by a real widow in verse 5. I normally don't do it this way. I normally go verse by verse, but it made sense to jump to verse 5 where he explains what he means by a real widow in this context. Verse 5, we'll definitely go back to verse 4, don't worry. But right now, verse 5, now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. That's what he means by a real widow. It's a widow, it's a woman who is completely left alone. We'll see, she doesn't have family. She doesn't have any support. She's left alone. And in light of that, she trusts in God, and she continues in supplications and prayers night and day. That's what he means by a real widow in this context. He's not saying they're fake widows, but they're not real widows in relation to what he's talking about in this context. A real widow is a widow first who is genuinely left alone. No supports, destitute. She's a woman that trusts in God, and she's a woman of prayer. That's what he means by a real widow. Honor widows who are really widows. Okay, let me tell you what a real widow is. She is a woman that is left alone, trusts in God, and is a woman of prayer. Hopefully that makes sense. That's what he means by a real widow in the context. He'll even say more, as we get into it next week, God willing, what more things that qualifies a woman to be taken into the number. But right now we see that a real widow is someone who is left alone and a woman who continues in supplications and prayers night and day because she trusts in God. That's what a real widow is, according to this context. And so now our second point, though, children and grandchildren showing piety and repaying their parents. Children and grandchildren showing piety and repaying their parents. So he tells the church, Paul by the Holy Spirit, honor widows who are really widows. Those who are left alone. Those who trust in God. Those who continue in supplications and prayers night and day. That's what he's saying. But, verse 4, if any widow, a woman who has been, her husband has died, if she has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. What is this saying? You have a widow in the church. You have a woman who is destitute, doesn't have her provisions of food and clothing and shelter. Is the church just to run out and say, you know what, we'll do everything. We'll make sure she's taken care of for as a widow. Are we supposed to step in and say, you know what, let's just answer the problem? No. That would actually be, I'm going to put it strikingly, but it would be true. That would be sinful to do it that way, according to this text. That would be sinful to do it that way, according to this text. The reason why it would be sinful is we would be usurping God's ordinary means of how that is taken care of. And the ordinary way that God wants widows to be taken care of is by their own family taking care of them. By their children or even their grandchildren showing piety to them. That's how God wants widows to be cared for. And so the church is to say, do you have any children? Do you have any grandchildren? Do you have any family members that could support you? Do you have any family members who could care for your needs of food, clothing, and shelter? Do you have children who can care for you? Do you have grandchildren who can do that? Because these children and grandchildren are to learn to show piety. It's actually a way of showing godliness. When a child or a grandchild says, I'm not going to let my widowed mom go destitute, or my mother-in-law. I'm not going to let her just go on the street and fend for herself. It's my responsibility, it's my God-given responsibility to care for her needs. It falls on me, as a child or a grandchild, to make sure I am showing piety at home. You remember when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees about this? They were disobeying the fifth commandment, dishonoring their aged parents, by giving that money that could have supported their parents and says, Korban, it's a gift of God. And Jesus rebukes them by saying that you make the word of God of none effect for your traditions. The word of God said, honor your father and mother. And part of that is caring for them in their older age. And you, instead of doing that, have said, we'll just give it as a gift of God, making your traditions above the word of God. This is a matter of obeying the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. And one way that happens, not the only way, but one way that happens is a child would never let his widowed mother go destitute. Would never let his widowed mother go destitute. Would never let her fend for herself. If that widow has children or grandchildren, they are to be instructed to first to learn to show piety at home. That's the responsibility. The first jurisdiction, the first sphere of authority that is to care for widows, to care for family, is the family itself. Is the family itself. And then it uses the language not only to show piety, not only to show godliness, but to repay their parents. As they think about the sacrifice that their parents have done for them, as they think about all their parents have given up to provide for their needs, as they think about maybe the things their parents didn't have, or went without, or chose to sacrifice so that they could be cared for, it's only right that now that their parents are widowed and their mother is widowed and aging, that they should repay their parents who have cared for them, who have provided for them, who have shown them grace and mercy and have cared for them all those years. It's not to say, you know what, my parents paid $400,000 for me, so I'm going to pay for it. That's not the point. It's not to do a math problem. It's to say, as you reflect on all that your parents have done, it only is right that you care for your widowed mother. That you care for your widowed mother. And so to repay their parents is what is right. Is what is right. I've told my mom this before. If dad ever dies and goes to heaven, she's coming with me. She's staying with me. She's coming to my house. We're not sending her away. She's coming to my house to stay. Because that's only right. That she stays with me. And I care for her. And I provide for her. After all she's done for me, my mom will stay with me. And that's what he's saying here. If you have a widowed mother, care for her yourself. Children, grandchildren. She's your responsibility. It's your duty before God to care for her needs so that she is taken care of. And then, if that wasn't good enough, that it's a way to show piety, and it's a way to repay your parents. If that wasn't good enough reason, he gives another reason. This is good and acceptable before God. When children or grandchildren repay their parents and show piety, God is well pleased by that. It's good and acceptable in God's sight when that happens. When children and grandchildren provide for their own, when they care for their widowed mother, God is pleased with that. It's good and acceptable before God. And so the first answer, when there is someone who has needs and they need ongoing help, a widowed woman, the first question the church should ask is, where's your family? Where's your family? Not in a rude way, not in a harsh way, but if you look at verse 16, we'll see that next week, God willing. But it says, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So the church is to relieve real widows. And we'll talk more about what that means, especially next week, God willing. But you don't want the church to be burdened when there's family that can care for them. When you have family that can care for their needs, it's the responsibility of the family to make sure that they are provided for. It's the children or grandchildren's responsibility. It's interesting here. We live in such a statist culture that we want the state to do everything for us. We want Caesar to do everything for us. But here, it's not go to the state to help them. It's not take them to the state and make sure they can go to the state and the state will be their children or grandchildren. No! You go to their actual family and say their family is responsible to care for them. It's not the state's job to provide for widows. It's the family's responsibility first and foremost. The children and the grandchildren. That's what piety looks like. That's what repaying parents looks like. It doesn't say, how can we get rid of this responsibility? How can we do whatever we can to say, not my responsibility, I don't want to think about it or do anything about it? No. The question is, how can I be faithful to this responsibility that God has given me as a child or a grandchild so that these widows can be provided for? But then we see my third point, carnal widow. And that's from verse 6. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And then I'll read verse 7 too. And these things command that they may be blameless. So it contrasts a real widow, according to this context. A real widow is one who is left alone, no family to help her. She trusts in God, and she continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Hopefully you see that from the text. That's what Paul, by the Holy Spirit, means by a real widow. But then he describes what we could call a fake widow. Not that she's not really a widow, but in this context, she's not one of those widows that the church is to honor. And she is one who lives in pleasure, and therefore is dead while she lives. Meaning, she is dead in her trespasses and sins. She is dead towards God. She is enslaved to sin, so what is she like? She lives in pleasure. And therefore she's dead while she lives. She's not alive to God. She's not alive to His purposes. She's dead while she lives. And this is a hard truth. But the point he is making here is saying the church is not responsible to care for the world. It's not our responsibility to care for everybody who has a need in the world. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility isn't to say, we need to help every single person who ever might have a need. No, he says, if there's a woman who's living in pleasure, she's dead while she lives and she's not a real widow to you. You are not to give her ongoing supports. You're not to care for her in an ongoing way. This text is not answering explicitly about one-time help to get them on their feet or to help them get a job or something like that or get them remarried if they're younger widows, we'll see. But this is saying the church is not to give themselves to be burdened by the ongoing care of those who are living in pleasure and dead while they live. We are to do good to the household of faith primarily. And the church doesn't have unlimited resources. And so we are to give ourselves to doing good and benefiting and profiting and helping those who trust in God. Not those who are living in pleasure. Not those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. It's similar to what Jesus says. Let the dead bury their own dead. Let the dead bury their own dead. It's a hard saying because the church can so easily, because we have a heart of compassion, because our God is compassionate. We can sometimes have the feeling of we should just help everybody under the sky. Everybody who ever has a need that comes to us, we are obligated to help them. But that's not what the scriptures teach. That's not what the scriptures teach. Because here again, he contrasts the real widow to the fake widow, to the one who is not really a widow in the eyes of the church. And that is one who lives in pleasure and is dead while she lives. And so the church is to be wise with the use of their resources. And if they are letting any person off the street, any single person, and say, we will pay for your bills in an ongoing way so that you're provided for, that's not being biblical and that's not being God-honoring with our resources. And so again, first and foremost, we say to that widow, if she has real needs and she's left alone, in the sense of that's what we say, are there family to help you? Where's your family in this? And then we contact the family and say, you have a widow who needs care. And it's sinful for you. You depend how you do it in a tactful way, but you try to tell them that it would be ungodly of you to not care for your widowed mother or your widowed grandmother. By saying that we are responsible, you are shirking your duty. And before God, you're going to give an account that you let your mom just off the hook and said, we're not doing anything with her. And so we should press families to say, for widows to say, are you willing to care for those who have needs? Are you willing to provide for them? That's your responsibility, to repay your parents. And it's good, acceptable before God. It's what God desires. And then if she's someone that comes to us and she's living in pleasure and is dead while she lives, we have no responsibility as a church to care for her. We have no responsibility. That's what the text is getting at. It is not our responsibility to care. It doesn't mean we might not say for her to say, well, go to your family. We might still encourage that way and say, go to your family, see if they will care for you. But for us, we want to care for those who have no family that can help for them and those who trust in God because we're a Christian church. And the reason why for some people this can sound harsh is because we've gotten so used to just giving handouts to everybody who asks as a church. We've gotten used to saying anybody who has a need, we must supply their need. We must. We're obligated. But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. And so widows are a real thing, of course, obviously. And so the church is to say, how are we to think about widows? And that's the whole point here. That's the whole point here of how is the church to think about widows. And then he says in verse 7, and these things command that they may be blameless. These things command that they may be blameless. He is to command the church and the widows that they could be both and. The church is to be blameless in who they care for. And the widows are to be blameless, not living in pleasure, but trusting God and being women of prayer. And so he says to them that you are to command them these things. Because the church at that time could have thought a couple different things. They could have thought we're responsible to help everybody, or we're not responsible to help any single person. They could have thought we need to help every single person that comes, or there's no one we're responsible for. And he's saying both of those things are not true. Both of those things are wrong. These things command that they may be blameless. Command the widows and command the church. And the church is to say first and foremost, children or grandchildren are to show piety at home and to repay their parents. And so for you, we have a lot of young people here, and eventually your parents are going to get old. So kids, this is for you as well. Eventually, your parents are going to get old. And your responsibility before God is to make sure they're provided for. Most likely, this doesn't always happen, but most likely your dad's going to die before your mom and go to heaven. And you need to make sure that your mom is provided for. You need to make sure that she is not destitute or without the needs that she should have. It's your responsibility. Don't give her over to the states. Don't say, let's get rid of her and say, we don't want anything to do with her. No, it's your responsibility before God to say, how can we care for our mom? And what is best, I think is ideal, is she comes into your household and you provide for her until the day she dies. That's the way you repay your parents, because of all the good they've done to you. And this is good and acceptable before God. And so when your dad dies and goes to heaven, it's your responsibility to make sure mom is provided for. Because that's good and acceptable before God. Not in the world that we live in, where so many people say, how can we cast off our parents? Or they don't have anything to do with us. We want to get rid of them. Let me say this as well. This might go without saying, but of course we can't force our parents to live with us. So if you have ungodly parents that are not willing to get care, you do the best you can, but you can't force them. Or if you have parents that just don't want to, they're really hurting living on their own, but they're just unwilling. It's our responsibility to offer. It's their responsibility to receive it. So the only thing we can do is say, this is offered. This is available. You can come and live with me. But we can't force them to do it, of course. And so that's also ideal. Also, another thing as well that can happen also that is godly is a father says, you know what? I know that eventually I'm not going to live forever. And my wife is probably going to outlive me. And so he makes provision, whether through his boys making sure they're prepared or for himself, that his wife is prepared so that she can live and not be destitute when he's gone. That's, of course, another way as well. And we can almost say that's somewhat the ideal way, where the husband had made provision so that his wife is cared for. So that his wife is cared for. But of course, if that doesn't happen, can't always happen. Some people don't have the means to do that always. And so the children or grandchildren should show piety at home. Hopefully you're convinced by the text. This is what the text is teaching. That is the responsibility of children and grandchildren, if those other things are not taken care of, so that they can repay their parents. Because we see, my last point, my fourth point, providing for your own. It's a verse that's very well known, verse 8. Some people may not always know the context of it, but very well known verse. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Verse 8. And so he ends this section, we could say, and he goes on, but for our priorities, ending this section by saying, if someone does not provide for his own, especially for his own household, and think, the household he has in mind here is his widowed mother. So it goes without saying you're going to provide for your wife and children. Like, that's an obvious. Of course you're going to do that. Of course the man that's the breadwinner is going to provide for his wife and children. But he's saying, but in this context, it even includes you're going to provide for your aged mother so she is not destitute. Because if you don't do that, if you say, I don't care what happens to my mom, I'm fine if she's on the streets, I'm fine if she doesn't have food, clothing, and shelter, then you've denied the faith. And that's worse than an unbeliever. Why? Because unbelievers even know that they should care for their aged mothers. Even unbelievers know that they shouldn't let their mom be on the street, living, picking out garbage and going to the dumpster to get food. Of course, the world knows that. So if you don't provide for your aged mother who's widowed, you're worse than an unbeliever, is what the text says. That's what the text, I didn't say that. That's what the text says. That's what verse 8 says. So he's saying that the reason why the church is to be taught this is so that they don't deny the faith and become worse than an unbeliever. So men have been given the unique responsibility under God to be the breadwinner. That's controversial in our culture, but that's what the Bible teaches. The man has the curse outside the home. The woman has the curse inside the home. The man has the curse related to thorns and thistles. The woman has the curse connected with childbearing and childrearing in particular. And so it's the man's responsibility to make sure that his house is provided for. Of course, his wife. Of course, his children, and even his aged mother. That he is to take responsibility to make sure that they have what they need, that they have the provision that is required. He is to make sure that they are not destitute and not without rightful provision. This doesn't mean that every family has to have 3 or 4 cars and 4 vacations and all these things. No. With what things should we be content? The same book says, with food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. And we could imply there, connected, I'm sure, is implied, shelter. With these things we shall be content. So some families are not going to have a lot. Some families are going to have more. Some families are going to have less. But provision is not, we have a huge house and we have all the fun that we want. Provision is we have proper food, proper clothing, and proper shelter. That's provision. Everything else is cherries on top. What we need is food, clothing, and shelter. And so the man is to make sure he is providing for his own, especially for those of his household. Especially for those of his household. Because the man does not want to be worse than an unbeliever. If he's a Christian, he wants to obey God. And again, this is connected with the fifth commandment. Honoring your father and mother. In the home, when a child's in the home, when they're a young child, they're to obey their parents. In the sense of when their parents tell them to do something, they're obligated to do it. As long as it doesn't violate the law of God. When they get older, especially when they're out on their own, they're still to honor their parents. But they are not obligated the same way to obey them every time they say something. Because now they have their own household and can make their own decisions. And have responsibility under God to govern themselves. But we are always commanded, till the day we die or our parents die, to honor them. To respect them. To reverence them. And again, one way that happens, one key way that happens, is by providing for them. Because that woman, who is a widowed woman, is either going to be destitute or be provided for. And she's either going to be provided for by her children or grandchildren, or if those things are not available, family's not available, then by the church. And we'll see that again more next week, the provision that the church is to give to these destitute widows. But as we think about a text like this, first and foremost, for those who are without Jesus Christ, we can never truly honor our father and mother. We can never keep the fifth commandment truly in a God-honoring way unless we first and foremost have repented and put our trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can truly and really honor our father and mother in a way that pleases God. And then for those who are in Christ, all of us at sometime are probably going to have aged family. Most likely, more often than not, it's going to be our mothers than our fathers, but it could be our fathers and our mothers. Sometimes fathers live longer than mothers. But it's our responsibility under God to make sure that they are provided for. God, first and foremost, comes to the children of parents to make sure that we show piety at home and repay our parents. That we make sure that they are not destitute. And so it's your responsibility, again, to make sure that your parents, when they become old, are provided for, that they are not destitute. Another way as well, for those who are married now, be good to think about ways that when you do pass away and go to heaven, if you go to heaven before your wife, that you make sure that she has provision, that she's not destitute, that she's not without any care that she needs. And these things are to be done. The church is not to care. We are not to concern ourselves as our priority with those who live in pleasure, being dead while they live. That's not our responsibility. That's not our jurisdiction. That's not our job to care for everyone in the entire world. Our job is to care, especially in this context, for the household of faith, for those who trust in God, and those who continue in supplications and prayers night and day. That's our responsibility. If there is no family to care. Because if family members are not willing to care, they're showing they have denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. Families are to care first. The father in particular is to care for his aged mother so that she is not destitute. She's not stranded. And this is so important in our day as well as we think about it, that we have so many people who don't care about the elderly. Some people almost have a view that we should just get rid of them. They're wasting space. They're wasting our resources. Just get rid of them. They're out of touch anyways. They don't understand like we understand. Just let's get rid of them. That's the thinking of some people. And that is not the thinking of the Word of God. The Word of God is we're to honor them, respect them, and even the church at certain times, if they qualify, is to provide ongoing support for them. But children and grandchildren are to view their elderly parents and their elderly grandparents as valuable, as worthy. You are to value the older generation as valuable and worthy of respect and provision and not cast off as if they don't matter. We are to care for them and provide for them because we are to honor widows who are really widows first by making sure they're provided for by their family and then, if need be, provided for by the church. This is also important as well, practical. The church puts their money to so many things that are not commanded by God. Games, gimmicks, programs, so many things that God doesn't even want. And all their money is put to that. But you know one thing that the church sometimes neglects that is commanded is benevolence. It's care for those who have needs. There can be, in wisdom and prudence, 1-2-time gifts to people to help them. And then we see here the church is to give itself, when it needs to the benevolence of caring for aged widows. That's actually a command from God. That the church, if the other things are not available and they qualify, are to care for widows. And so the church is not to give itself to everything under the sun. It's to give itself to what God commands. And God does command in certain instances for the church to care for widows. And so God loves widows. God cares for widows. God is for widows. True and undefiled religion is to visit widows and orphans. But we must do it in a way that is according to God's word. And not with unrestrained compassion, but also with not a heart that's without care. And so we need both. We can fall into one of those two ditches. You can fall into the ditch of unrestrained compassion. Someone has a need and I am unrestrained, helping in any way I can. That might actually hurt them. Or the other side, we just become cold and callous and don't care. Because the same Bible that says that widows and we should care for widows and orphans and all those things also says, particularly in the context of men, if they're not willing to work, they shouldn't eat. And so we have to always think about these things with the whole counsel of God, not with unrestrained compassion, not with a cold, callous heart, so that we might be faithful. But we are to honor widows who are really widows so that they can be cared for, so they can be provided for, so that God can be glorified in that. First and foremost with the family and secondarily with the church. Again, I'll say this again, the state not involved. The state is not, we're not looking to Caesar, the state to provide for widows. We're looking to the family and the church. That is who God has given to provide for these aged women. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word and we just pray that you would help us to love it, to delight in it, and to obey it. We pray for strength. In Jesus' name, amen.